time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning, folks. Good morning. Good morning. Morning. I got a question for you today. We start off here bright and early on November 2nd. How can it be November 2nd already? November 2nd, 2016. How evil is evil? How evil is evil? I know this from all of my all my coaching experience and all my playing of athletics. Worst thing you can ever do is underestimate your opponent. Ever. Underestimate them. In fact, we call that overconfidence. We used to guard our guys. You know, we had some really, really good teams. And I tried to warn them, when you're really, really good, everybody wants to beat you. And so we would be 6-7, 8-0, and we'd be coming up against some team that was 2-5 or 2-6. And I'd try to warn them, say, listen, guys, don't look at their record. Don't look at their record. These guys, this will make their season. If they can beat us, this will make their season. There'd be many times that we'd find ourselves in a real dogfight halfway through the second quarter because we couldn't shake them because, most part, we didn't take them seriously. As much as you want it not to be true, your kids read the papers. Luckily for me, this was before Facebook and all the social media. So you could somewhat try to control them. But the guys, when you show the kids a football film, they're smart enough to see what the opponent looked like. You couldn't lie to them. And so you fought over confidence. And we always try to tell them, listen, here's our goal. Our goal to this week's to get better. And I would say, listen, we're trying to prepare you guys. Every day we coach you to beat the best. I'm going to say it again because maybe you didn't hear me. We coach you every day to beat, B-E-A-T, the best. We're not coaching you to beat these guys this weekend. If you play the way you've been coached, we're going to beat these guys this weekend. But we're coaching you guys to beat the best. In week 13 and week 14, the best teams left in the state, that's who we're coaching you to beat. Right now in week 5, that's who we're coaching you to beat. You know what's happened to us? In the body of Christ in particular, we have no respect for the enemy. First of all, we don't even know our own strength. We don't even know our own weapons. We don't even know what they are. Oh, thank you, Lord. Where is that, Jared? Search it for me while I'm thinking. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I think that's Ephesians. We don't even know our own skills. There's nothing more frustrating to me, Roger, than to watch an Ohio State football game and they're not using their skills. They're not getting the ball to the right guy. They're appear to be running the same play over and over, and they're just not getting the job done. And so Ohio State got beat a couple weeks ago when they were playing Penn State. So there's no doubt in my mind that they didn't take Penn State seriously. And then Ohio State, when they needed to, weren't able to just to amp up their own game and get better and be able to do it. So we better bone up here and note a couple different things. Number one, our opponent is unbelievably evil and powerful. Unbelievable. If he is allowed to go unchecked, he's going to kick our hind end. I'm just telling you. And we cannot be ignorant of his devices. We cannot be ignorant. We have to know what our enemy's plan is. We have to know his game plan. The Lord told us not to be ignorant of his devices. And we are ignorant of his devices. We really don't understand them. Church doesn't understand them. We're confused. We think the devil's just after your finances and after your health. Don't see the bigger picture and understand what's really going on. And I want to tie all this together because yesterday, Jared's got 2 Corinthians 10 up there for me. I want to share it with you. Hey, by the way, there's room for somebody to jump in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got room for 3 more folks you want to jump in here today. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle, and you can get in here. Coach is blurry. Am I blurry this morning? Sorry. Sorry if I am. Slept good. 2 Corinthians 10. I want to show you something here. this has always really kind of not baffled me, but for the weapons, okay, let's go back. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Let's just start right there a second. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the way, meekness does not mean weak. The Lord is not weak and gentle. Meekness means controlled power. It's like a picture of you're sitting on a stallion with the reins and you got the reins pulled back. That's meek. Power under control is meekness. And gentleness, that's the wrong word. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold. I'm sorry, that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Okay, here's a point Paul's making now. For though we walk in the flesh, Kevin, we're in a earth body. Roger, we're in an earth suit. We cannot get out of this earth suit. So we're walking in the flesh. He says, but our war is not after the flesh. We're walking in this flesh suit, but that's not where our war is. For it says, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, whenever I read this scripture, by the way, Jared, great job on digging that up. I've noticed something. Hey, Raj, I want you to look at this scripture. It tells us what our weapons are not, but does it tell us what our weapons are? It doesn't, does it? So we can read this scripture and the Lord, Paul says to us, hey guys, listen, our weapons aren't, they're not fleshly, they're not physical. Our weapons are, man, they're mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. There's only one problem, George. He doesn't tell us what those weapons are. And we executed one of them yesterday. And one of those weapons is fasting. What are some of our weapons? Prayer. Fasting, praise, worship, those are our weapons that we yesterday took. I was excited yesterday because I heard from several people who said, Coach, not only am I fasting with you, but I have 183 people on my homeschool list and they're fasting with us as well. And we don't know how many times that was probably multiplied. Now, I tried to explain this. I rewatched the video from yesterday, a couple days ago, where I tried to explain it to you. It's like this. There are electric wires, if you would, electric wires running off of our natural body in the spirit that are being connected to power. There's a power source above us. And the enemy also has that same power source. And that enemy's trying to get into us and control us. And the Holy Spirit's trying to control us. And our weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty through God to doing what? To going up in the heavenlies and snipping the power cords. So when we fasted yesterday, we snipped some of those demonic power cords that are holding back the Spirit of God from flowing. Is this making sense to anybody? You guys understand what I'm saying? So yesterday when thousands of us specifically fasted, which is one of our weapons, when we did that, the promise was we're going to pull down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Our enemy understands this because the scripture tells us that we are not ignorant of his devices, but we have been ignorant of his devices. We have been. I'm reading something here, camera issue. Okay. We have that power, but if we don't understand, number one, our power that's available to us and the enemy's power, then we're not going to be successful. Does anybody know the devil's number one weapon? We're not ignorant of his devices. Anybody know? Simple. Scripture tells us that he's a liar. Hey, he doesn't just tell lies. It doesn't say be careful of that devil. He lies to you every once in a while. No. He said he is a liar and the father of lies. Right? So this, as hard as this is for us to understand, whenever the devil opens his mouth, whatever the devil says, it's a lie. It is his nature. The devil cannot tell the truth. He's a liar. It's just the opposite of the Lord. The Lord cannot lie. So when we read something in the scripture, we have God's word on it. He can't lie to us. And so what we have to be able to do is we have to be able to decipher between the lie and the deception. I'm sorry, the lie and the truth. Well, that's all we have to do. We have to stand on the truth, speak the truth, act out the truth. Psalm 37 real quick, Jared. I got some great stuff to dump on you here today. Psalm 37. Because I want this to encourage you. Here we go, boys. This is a Psalm of David. Fret not yourself because of evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. See there, guys, golly, this is so simple. There are workers of iniquity. Do you understand that? Those are the devil's minions. They're workers of, they don't just want, Hillary is a worker of iniquity. Thank God it's all being exposed. But here's what I want to encourage you with. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. That's truth, see? That's not a lie. That's the truth. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Whoa, got to stop there. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I'm going to paraphrase this. He shall put into you the desires of your heart. He will put the desire in you. He will give you the desires. He will place the desires in your heart. And those things will be desires of him. I used to think that verse means he'll give you whatever you want. That's not what it says. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He said again, don't cease from anger and forsake wicked. I'm sorry. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. There it is again. Third, don't fret. For evil doers shall be cut off. Wow. How about that? Roger, that's some truth. The evildoers are going to be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Ooh, wait on the Lord. That's a word that connotes service. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Like a waiter in a restaurant, wait on the Lord, serve the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who serve the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet in a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, what's the meek? Power under control, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Yada, yada. It goes on and on and on and on. So we ought to be encouraged today that there's a lot of stuff being exposed and that we have got to bone up on our spiritual weaponry. We don't even know what it is. This ought to be your assignment. George. Gonna put you on the spot, George. You know the full armor of God?
Okay.
Can you tell me the full armor of God right now?
Let's see, you got the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Feet are shod with the preparation of the readiness of the gospel of peace.
Daggone, George. I thought I was gonna catch you off guard.
Loins are girded with truth.
So you ask a football player, hey, what's your equipment? Hey, Roger, when your boys were playing football, could they tell you what their equipment was? Did they know what every one of those pads, where they went? Sure, yeah. They did. They did, didn't they? So when we put on the full armor, let's put it on as a uniform. Helmet of salvation, even though you put it on last. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with truth, shod your feet with the preparation of gospel peace, carry the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. See, we don't even know what our weapon is. Maybe George does. Good for you, George. I'll give you an applause, but most people we don't even have any idea our football equipment is. We don't even know that. They don't even teach us that. Right? And why do you need football equipment? Why do you need this armor? Because we're going to go into war. And Larry, I'm reading your mind, Larry. There's nothing on our back. Our back's not covered. There's no place for retreat. And because, hey, Sarge, you're supposed to have my back. I got your back. I don't need my back protected because you're there. That's the way it's supposed to work, right? Cool. Okay, good. Good little teaching. Sergeant's meek can also mean seekers of truth who have surrendered to God and dropped worldly. Yeah, I agree with that. That's good. That's all good. Point I'm trying to make, meek doesn't mean weak and doesn't mean sissy. Okay? Boy, I came across a couple things today I just got to show you. Jared, let's go. First of all, Lance Wallnau. I don't know if you guys have been following Lance Wallnau or not. He's been out front trying to explain to everybody. He's a pastor. He's a preacher, evangelist. He's been out trying to explain to everybody what's going on and the need to support Donald Trump. This is a minister. Hey, Roger, explain this one to me, being the negotiator that you are. You're sitting in the church and you are going to vote for Trump. And you're sitting beside a never-Trumper, and you talk to each other, and you can't convince that never-Trumper. He's trying to convince you. How do we know who's right?
How do we, well, I think you have to look at scripture and policy. And I mean, that's what I would do. I would look at scripture, God's word, and policy that individual. I wouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to whether he's good looking or bad looking. I'd look at kind of what does he stand for? What is he going to promote? And in my eyes, the foundation would be built on God's word.
Okay. How about if I throw this out here? What if it was this? I would say to my never Trump friend, I understand your position. I understand your position, but do you understand that destruction of Christianity is happening right before our very eyes, and that if we allow this group of people to get into power, Christianity as we know it is going to be gravely injured in America. And what's their response going to be? Well, I don't care, but I can't vote for that guy. I can't, right? So they deny. See, it's the application of scripture. I guess that's what I'm saying. In a perfect world, of course we wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. Of course we wouldn't. Perfect world. But when we can show somebody what's going on with all this, I don't want to miss. So here's the video I want to show you. This is Lance Wallnau. I'm going to show you two Lance Wallnau videos. This first one is only about 2 minutes left. And listen to what Lance Wallnau says about Donald Trump. Go ahead and play that with Jared. He's on, by the way, he's on with Jim Baker's show.
Trump being a wrecking ball.
Right.
Go back, Jared. Wrong one. Sure. I'll play this one second. I'm sorry. I did not make that clear to you. Let's go to, that's it. No, yeah, it says.
A woman as he arrives at Trump Towers is not something I want to build our election on. You know, and Trump is really should have been one of them. Trump is a movie star, you might say. He's a wealthy man. You would think he would be one of their own. And yet God, this is another thing. Why is God picking somebody, you call him God's wrecking ball.
He is.
Just literally shake this thing up.
Because if you put those pins, I just described all those 520s, you put all those pieces on the board. And here comes a bowling ball. Trump is a bowling ball because he isn't connected to, he's in the exact most dangerous lane for the devil that a human being can be. A man with no attachment to any agenda other than getting to the other side. And if your pins are getting in the way, you're going to get knocked over. So he has a goal for America, and all of this infrastructure the devil's built. Honestly, Trump, he doesn't work. He's not even in the conspiratorial mind. He just deals with one deception after another and hangs it out there in public. He is a wrecking ball to that spirit of political mind control, because his only agenda is America, and he will knock every pin over if he's given. Picture Samson. Samson had a history with Philistine girls. It's true in the Bible. Samson, however, was anointed. Samson was a prophet. And Samson, with the jawbone of an ass, slew 10,000 Philistines. To be perfectly clear, Jezebel also is in the Bible, never was once anointed by God. Samson was anointed by God. God can even use somebody with a checkered past who has an anointing in order to take out his enemies. The last act that Samson did was he took down the entire Philistine structure.
Right.
So the church really needs to stop fighting over what maybe Donald Trump did a decade ago and start recognizing there's an anointing on him to deal with the Philistines, and the Philistines are destroying the American system.
Wow.
Does that make sense? By the way, this is interesting. Right Wing Watch. These videos are from Right Wing Watch. So Lance Wolnow went on with Jim Baker, and Right Wing Watch picked it up and is shooting these videos out. What's your response to that, Raj? Larry, somebody, what do you think?
I love it. I love it. I've watched the guy a little bit on TV, or not on TV, on radio or YouTube, or whatever. But the Samson analogy is perfect. Samson, womanizer. I think we learned on this program, he was so good looking, the daddies would bring their daughters to get impregnated by him.
Right, right.
Go
ahead, Larry.
I have to be honest with you, Coach. When you went into that vein of it the other day, I'll go back and do it again. But I went back and read everything I could find about Samson in the Bible. And in the Bible, there's three women that the Bible mentions he was with. One was his wife, one was a prostitute, and one was his shack up after his wife had died. Three.
Okay.
That's all I can find.
I'll dig out that link that I had, Larry, and show you where I can't remember where I found it because it's a while ago. Let's say that's not true. Okay, let's say that's not true. Samson was certainly an imperfect man. Certainly was an imperfect man. And God used Samson as a wrecking ball. I'm going to dig that out, Larry.
Numbers don't count. The prostitute kind of points that out.
Numbers don't count, right? One sin's all it takes, isn't it? For sure. So here's what I want to get at. Again, this is where I think the church is missing it. We don't understand the depth of evil. And as I said to somebody on the phone last night, a guy called me, I said, I don't know if there's a godly man that could do it. I don't know if there's a godly man that could be that wrecking ball. Hey, Sarge, what do you think they would have done to Ted Cruz by now?
Oh, my God. Ted Cruz would have been, I think he would have probably already dropped out.
He would have either gone to the dark side, or they would have buried him, right? Yeah.
I think he's already in the dark side because his wife's connected with Goldman Sachs. So I think he's already part of the globalists.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's not.
Right.
He couldn't have done this. He couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it. Okay. Now I want to show you another clip from the same program, Lance Wolnow again. And Lance Wolnow, excuse me, confirms what I was talking about with the demonic and what's going on with the demonic realm and what's going on with the blindness and this veil that's over people. This is a powerful segment. It's about 4 minutes. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
You refer to, and I've written it down, of Trump being a wrecking ball.
Right.
Right.
Could you explain that?
Sure. So if you look at what's happening in America is the insidious thing about
Listen
what's happening
now.
In America is that it's organized. What's happening is not a collapse. It is simply because America's falling away from God. There is what I call a shadow cabinet. And I'm not a big conspiracy theory buff, but you know, when you discover conspiracies, it's like organized crime. You can't deny the mafia exists once you uncover Al Capone, and it's there. What I found is that there is a group of leftist progressives who have strategically, since the year 2004, remapped how they would reshape the American landscape by creating 527s. 527s are organizations
that can be built for political purposes with infinite funding from private sources. 527s literally would be like counterfeit evangelistic outreaches.
Hold on a second, Jared.
Who are going to work on.
Okay, guys, I want you to listen closely now. He's going to spell out exactly what they've done. These 527s are little like nonprofit organizations, okay? Lance is going to tell us exactly what they've done, how they've made this happen to us. This falling away has not happened by accident. They got organized in 2004. That's 12 years ago, and they began to strategically attack. Listen as he finishes this. Go ahead.
On six or seven areas where conservatives and Christians are not organized, and pound for 8 years on that. So what you have is you have these six or seven siege engines that are hitting hard against conservatives and Christians who are not organizing themselves. You see, we don't work well together. Like I was saying, the National Rifle Association doesn't work with the Right to Life, and Christians, for the most part, don't work at all together. So liberals don't even like each other a lot of times. When it comes to a fight, the LGBT will show up with the environmentalists, will show up with the pro-abortion people.
Amen.
Because they have more unity in lawlessness than we actually have in righteousness.
Wow.
So
wow.
They created these organizations. I list the organizations. And here's what they did. They had a meeting of the top guys who, by the way, are connected with Hillary's campaign. And they met in Boston and in New York. And they decided that they would strategically rework the discipling of America through seven or eight new 527s that would be launched. And those organizations then, and if I give you the names, you can see you're familiar with them, and you think you don't even know what they are. You just hear their name come up. They're all independent organizations coordinated by one group of people like us who handle the money. And so they'll show up where there's race issues, boom, and make them inflammatory. They'll show up where there's a campus issue, boom, and make it inflammatory. Then the media machine kicks in, Media Matters, and which is run by one of their organizations. And they come in and they get it into the social media channels. So it's in Facebook and everything. And you would think all of America's ablaze. It's a handful of funded, executed strategists with entities called 527s that are discipling America.
Yeah,
the shadow cabinet.
And it's a shadow cabinet. So they called together to get the thing kickstarted. They called together 100 millionaires, and they said, we're not going to ask too much for you. Just want a million each. You're already givers to our party. Give us 100 million, and we will be able to kickstart our organizations. This was in 2004. They did that. Now you have guys like Soros and other guys coming in with billions who say, we're on board. Now, you're no longer dealing with 100 million. You're dealing with a billion. If you ever want to have a freaky experience, go to discoverthenetworks.org.
Oh, okay. Right.
And discoverthenetworks.org, and you'll have a meltdown because somebody did the research to show you who all the players are and how all the lines of their giving and funding all connect to each other. So you see a web. Oh. And the web literally is coming down on America. And what's sad is how many Christians feel this fog on their head at times?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that? It's like it's mm-hmm. so, it's almost like everything's going wrong. And
yeah.
We don't realize it's a remnant operating strategically through organizations that are intent on shifting the American culture and discipling the country. And that fog that's on Christians is the collective witchcraft that comes over the body of Christ mm-hmm. because there's spirits being authorized to be released. Wherever there's agreement, there's power.
Right.
The more unbelievers agree with the narrative that they're hearing, the more power and authorization Satan has to manifest. So unless the church has an exposure of what the enemy's doing and begins to agree together with a counter strategy, we're going to deal with more and more fog. And the worst part is we don't have to surrender nations to the devil.
Did you get that, Raj? So for a dozen years, I had $100 million at least to strategically organize to destroy the moral structure of America. That's what's been going on for a dozen years. And Lance talked about the idea of demonic influences, that they certainly have witchcraft going on and all that stuff. And then he said something that was very important, and that was the power of agreement. And now what do they have going on? They have Christians agreeing with the devil. How does that happen? It happens through deception. Christians believe a lie, and now they are in agreement with the devil. We're not in agreement with the Lord. We don't think we can do anything about it. And so we see the deception is running wide and wide and wide. What are the weapons of the, what's the devil? Devil can do only one thing. He can lie. He's a master of deception. He is a liar. And we are not ignorant of his, of, we are ignorant of his devices. So Lance Wallnow, I was one of the first guys I've come across, and I think is really seeing and understanding the bigger issues that you see going on. What do you think here, Sarge?
Wow, that was pretty heavy duty.
Huh? Makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it confirms what I've already kind of known about the shadow side of it. I used to work in that business.
So we know, Sarge, that Hillary Clinton is not the decision maker and the runner of this Clinton cabal, is she? She's not the one doing it. We know.
No, but she's the money piece. She's the money piece because they've been able to funnel the money in through the Clinton Foundation and then launder it the way they're laundering it, which is something they know very well how to do, because if you listen to Larry Nichols, he'll tell you they've been laundering drug money ever since Governor Days in Arkansas.
Yeah. So again, we're not ignorant of his devices. My point being, it looks to me like Hillary isn't even the one coming up with this plan. It seems to be George Soros funded, or a lot of, they called it the shadow cabinet, workers of iniquity behind the scenes, that they are doing what? They're deceiving the people. They're deceiving us. And who's buying into it? We are. With this nonsense that you can't vote for the lesser of two evils. Where did that come up? Where do you suppose that idea even came up from? Because ultimately, every decision you make is the lesser of evils. Every one, greater good or lesser of evils. You can make it any way you want to. Every decision we make is the lesser two evils. And why are we bogged down thinking that that only applies to our votes? Deception. I think it's deception. Okay, I got something else I want to show you. Now this.
Hey, Coach, looking that up, I just want to also say that you know, when we're thinking about this from the perspective of us in the Salt and Light Brigade, I would much rather be fighting this battle with a Trump administration than I would with a Hillary administration, because taking the hill in this regard, as a military parlance, is going to be way more difficult if she's running the show.
Well, we can see how hard it's been. Right. Trump just trying to get his foot in the door as it is, right? We can see how hard it's been. If Hillary has 4 years and she appoints Supreme Court justices and she's ahead of the Justice Department, and wow, it is going to get harder and harder and harder. So this came across my desk yesterday, another video. And be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know if it's legit or not. I've read and followed a lot of others. This is there's supposedly Roger, Larry, George. There's an underground coup going on right now. Right now, we're in the midst of an underground coup. By an underground coup, meaning this: people within the government who understand that there's already been a coup, that a coup has already taken place with the Clinton administration and Obama and getting control of the courts and getting control of all that. We have already had our country stolen from us. And one of the reasons we've seen the pushback from the Justice Department is because there's an underground network fighting back against this coup. Do you agree with this, Sarge? Am I explaining it the right way, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Larry Nichols has been indicating for a few months that this is underway. I think right now, hopefully, we're going to see what happens in the next couple of 24, 48 hours from WikiLeaks to verify. Alex Jones is on top of this, but I'm not quite sure what to think of this in terms of what they've done and whether there's a counter movement that these patriots that this Steve guy is going to talk about probably in a video you're about to show, and whether or not there's been a counter move by some patriots in high places. I would like to think that that's the case, but I think we don't have enough information in front of us right now. And I think today in a moral could be very telling. So the idea is just keep our eyes open.
The next 8 days is going to be unbelievable. That's the way I see it. They're going to be. Let's go ahead and play that one, Jared. It says internal coup. Play this one. This is the first minute of those Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here on the road. No time to waste. I have to get this out right now. So many balls in the air that I kind of dropped one of them. Dr. Steve Bochenek 2 weeks ago told me that the intelligence community and others were carrying out a soft coup against Hillary.
Yeah, move ahead. Can we get him on there?
Hillary and Bill Clinton and their entourage of assistants affected a civilian coup. In contrast to the usual concept of a coup where the military is involved and takes over the White House and communication centers, very much like the scenarios you see in a movie, this coup was done silently and very effectively through two methods, corruption and co-optation. The Clintons have been involved in co-opting our White House, our judiciary, our CIA, our Federal Bureau of Investigation, our Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, and our Director of the FBI, James Comey, for some time now. What they've done is to make sure that they were part and parcel of a group of people who were interrelated through political cronyism. However, in order to stop this coup, we in the intelligence community and others involved have informally gotten together. And with their permission, I am beginning to announce that we've initiated a counter coup through Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. What has happened in effect when Comey had to open up the case of Hillary Clinton and discuss the emails that were involved with the Anthony Weiner case, it was not the case itself that was as important as the fact that this was the entree for many of us in the counter coup to say to the administration, we have your number. Not only do we have your number, we're going to stop you from making Hillary the president of the United States. And at the same time, we will convict and indict the president of the United States, Loretta Lynch, and many others who were involved in the cover-up of the massive corruption that occurred under the Clinton Foundation. Now, in both cases, their coup was silent. And our counter coup was silent, and it was all transgressed or occurred on the internet. And this is probably the first time in the history of any country where a coup was initiated on through the internet and a counter coup was initiated through the internet. I am just a small part of something far bigger than myself. It was the brave men and women who were in the FBI, the CIA, the Director of Intelligence, the military intelligence, and men and women in 15 other intelligence organizations who were sick and tired of seeing this corruption in the White House, in the Justice Department, and in the intelligence system. And we decided that there was something we had to do in order to save the Republic. So we initiated a counter coup through Julian Assange, who's been very brave and really quite formidable in his ability to come forth and provide all the necessary emails that we gave to him in order to undermine Hillary and Bill Clinton. Again, America, we're going through a major, major transition and, quite frankly, a second American Revolution. We do not have guns. We do not have weapons. We do not intend to kill anybody. We do not intend to harm anybody. But we, the American public, and those of us who serve as veterans and in the intelligence service like myself, will stop the Clintons from assuming power that they don't deserve. At the same time, we will make certain that Obama leaves without any trail of a pardon or any other act of treason. In effect, we want a peaceful transition in this great American republic. I bring you this news, and I want you to understand what has happened. A moment of history is occurring right now in front of us, and I'm proud to explain it to you.
What do you think, Raj?
I believe it.
Something crazy is going on. Sarge?
Yeah, at the same time, though, I'm putting on my little verification hat, and that is his site There's nothing on his website that you see there on that website address. So I don't know what to think of it. I'm withholding judgment until I see what the next 48 hours brings and whether
Sergeant,
or not.
Would you think there are good guys in the Pentagon that would be capable of this?
There would be. And the question is, why aren't they coming forward unless they're under some potential thought that they could be arrested themselves before they can get their message out, which is why they're using Assange since he's held up in the Ecuadorian embassy. So that's my question is, why aren't they bringing this out inside the United States as opposed to using a third party? But maybe because WikiLeaks has got traction, they feel that's the only way they can do this. But I, like I said, we need to keep our eyes on the ball on this one.
I'm with you on that one. Anybody else?
Wouldn't history support that in times like this, there are good people that are trying to get the truth out? I assume this isn't the first time when governments have had difficulties controlling the people, and there were people that knew truth and were trying to get it out to the masses. I'm just assuming everybody can't be bought off quite yet.
It's the internet age too, Roger. So we have a dissemination that we never had before. The ability to disseminate. I can make a video right now and put it on Facebook and the world can see it like right now. So it's harder for people to censor truth. That's what we're seeing more than anything. And you notice in all these Julian Assange releases, nobody's questioning the truth. They're just saying, well, they received them illegally, or the Russians got them, or what. Nobody's saying that's a lie. I didn't do that. Nobody's saying that. So again, that's deception, in my opinion, as I'm watching the prayers of the saints at work. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And there have to be those who know that Obama is a Muslim sympathizer at the best. Probably a practitioner of Islam at the worst, and Valerie Jarrett and Uma Abedin and all that stuff we talked about yesterday. And I'm going to take you somewhere now that's going to curl your toes, because I've been following this closely online too. And this is going to come out in the next few days. It's another video that's going to show the same guy, Steve, makes this same argument that what is being exposed, we will find on Wiener's laptop, is a connection to a pedophile ring that the Clintons are elbow deep in. Now, say, Coach, this is pretty inflammatory. I give it to you with a caution. It's 2 minutes in a video produced by the same guy on the same night explaining what's going on. Let's go ahead and play that, Jared.
I've just talked to you about the ongoing coup and counter coup that is being initiated by the Clintons on the one hand, and counter coup by the FBI, the New York Police Department, and other branches of our intelligence community. The important part to remember is also that not all the information has come out with regards to Wiener and his sexting to a 15-year-old North Carolina teenager. The real issue underlying a lot of Bill Clinton's nefarious activities, as well as Hillary Clinton's sexual activities, is the fact that we know that both of them have been a major part and participant of what's called the Lolita Express, which is a plane owned by Mr. Jeff Epstein, a wealthy multimillionaire who flies down to the Bahamas and allows Bill Clinton and Hillary to engage in sex with minors. That is called pedophilia. And as a result of the excellent work that the New York Police Department does in tracking pedophiliacs, they also have a record of both Hillary, Bill, and other people associated with the Clintons with regard to pedophilia. So not only will she be charged with obstruction of justice, with lying to a prosecutor in the FBI, she will also be charged with pedophilia, sex with minors, and other assorted issues. Bill might be brought up again on certain charges because those charges still relate to American crime and prosecutorial issues. But I do want to inform you that we are well aware in the intelligence community their activities that hasn't stopped. And we're not talking about one trip to the Bahamas. We're talking about a multiple of 20 or 30 trips that Bill and Hillary did take separately and together to on the Lolita Express to engage in sexual activities with minors. I hope you continue to listen to what we have to say. This is Dr. Steve Pachenik, and I will keep on informing you as to what is happening in this second American Revolution that we are witnessing in 2016. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. America.
Okay, so let me take you someplace else here, Roger, Larry, all the folks out there. I don't know if you know this. It's public information. You can find it on the internet, although you can't believe everything you see on the internet. The Clintons have transferred $1.8 million into an account in Qatar. Are you guys aware of that? $1.8 billion the Clinton Foundation has transported to a bank account in Qatar, however you spell that. I mean, I hear people call it both names. And that there is speculation, Sarge, speculation that they're going to flee. They're going to flee what's coming down here. All of a sudden, Hillary and Bill Clinton are going to end up in Qatar. You have any credence to that, Larry or Sarge? I keep saying Sarge because he swam in those rivers with those guys. Any credence to that, Larry?
It's hard. You can't prove a negative.
Yeah.
So you can't prove that the money was not sent, but there has been no proof that the money was sent. So I have no problem imagining that they have such plans. I have no problem with that.
No problem at all. What do you think, Sarge?
Yeah, I was just typing in speculation for sure at this moment in time.
And there's also speculation that the Obamas have purchased a property over in that area too. Again, Larry, it could all be speculation. But if this thing starts coming down, we'll be surprised to see what happens. Let me focus in on this, guys. The Bible calls it total depravity. Total depravity. And total depravity means completely nothing redeemable within you. Total depravity. That is the human heart apart from the redemption of Jesus Christ. Once you fall into that pit of sin, there's nothing that will stop you. Nothing that will stop you. And once you cross over certain boundaries, I don't care what it is. I remember the first time I got drunk. You guys remember the first time you got drunk? I was a freshman in college. Went through high school, never had a beer ever in high school. I went to two-a-day football practice. I was 18 years old. And the night of my first day in two-a-days, celebrating two-a-days beginning the next day, a bunch of upperclassmen came and got some of us freshmen to give us an initiation or whatever. And they took us someplace. And I can't remember the names. It doesn't matter. I got drunk. I'd never been drunk in my life. You know what happened 3 days later, Roger? I got drunk again. Then you know what happened 2 days later? I got drunk again. And then you know what happened over the next 4 years of my college career? Being drunk became a part of my life. Because once you fall into that trap, without the redeeming power of Christ, you can't get out of it. And so when Hillary or Bill, or whoever, pick whoever it is, they didn't start out as evil as they are. But once they began to go down that path, they fell into total depravity. He got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. They are so far in that they are not able to extricate themselves from it. Total depravity. Now, most of us, we still have a lot of that depravity inside of us. We wrestle with that every day, don't we? We do. But hopefully we have restraints. And say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that again. You may fall off the wagon. You may go out and you may get drunk and watch a game, a football game, or go to a Buckeyes game and get drunk and come home and say, man, I'm never going to do that again, because the Holy Spirit's still at work in you. Total depravity is when you reach the point where your conscience is seared and it doesn't even matter. And Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and anybody who runs for president of the United States, including Donald Trump, they have to be sociopaths. They have to be totally, totally interested in them and their desires and their wants. And Trump can come on and say that, you know, he's doing it for America and he wants to make America great again. And that all could be true. He could have some very noble reasons why he's doing it. But unless Donald Trump's born again of the Spirit of God, he is ultimately feeding his ego. We know that. And what might look like good stuff right now could be really, really bad stuff because total depravity. So those of us in the Christian community, we ought to be fasting and praying for the redemption of Donald Trump. We shouldn't be praying that he doesn't get in there and be this wrecking ball, this bowling ball that Lance Wallnau is talking about. We ought to pray for his redemption, that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of his heart, that the Holy Spirit will strengthen his conscience, that the Holy Spirit will pull some reins back on Trump. Because Hillary Clinton, she's totally depraved. She's into witchcraft. We look at what's going on. Can you believe everything they touch becomes polluted? The Clintons I'm talking about. And it's because of the total depravity in which they're living under. Reaction to that. Anybody have a reaction? Nope. That's what we're dealing with. Total depravity. And I think I shared this one on one of the shows. I had a guy tell me who would know. He said, if you think temptation is strong when you're poor, wait till you're rich. And if you think you can get away with everything, wait till you're rich. If you're a criminal and you're 18 years old and you're never getting caught and you're getting away and getting away and getting away with it, you're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we see now a Clinton cabal who's become convinced that they can do whatever they want and not be caught. They're going to get away with it. So what we're going to watch over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 days is what is going to come down. What's coming down? Was Dr. Steve telling us the truth? Is there a group of people out there who are really, really helping Julian Assange expose all of this evil behind the curtain? And are the American people so brainwashed and so deceived that we can't see the truth? And is it possible that the prayers of the saints and the fasting of the saints is actually starting to have some impact, even though we're not fully hearted in to God's plan? If God's plan would happen to be Donald Trump, and we're double-minded on that one, Lord, please move, do something, Lord, but don't use him. Don't use him. And I think that's where a lot of people are, and we've lost our ability to say, Lord, whatever it is, if it's Donald Trump, Lord, Help, Lord. Get him. Rescue him, Lord. Fall on our face and cry out for Donald Trump, for the salvation of his soul, the salvation of his family. That ought to be where we are now. Not sitting back and saying, well, I can't elect him. I can't elect him. How about you? Was your heart darkened? Did you have a real darkened heart? Do you have things that if your mother knew that you had done, she would fall down on her face and weep? I was rescued from that. Can Trump be rescued from that? Is that the goal of the church, to pray for Trump to become a righteous man? Is that what the church is praying for? See, I think it's part of the great deception that you can't be converted on the journey. They say Abraham Lincoln was converted in the White House. He was a scoundrel. That a lot of the problems we have in America today are because of Abraham Lincoln. He was a scoundrel. But he found the Lord in the midst of his trial and tribulation while he was in the White House. Could that not happen to Donald Trump? People say, well, Coach, that could happen to Hillary. Well, except there's a problem. I hope Hillary gets saved, but I hope she gets saved in jail. Because coming to Jesus may cover her personal sins, but it's not going to cover the consequences of her personal sins. What she's done to America, she has to pay for. She can't stand up and say, I'm sorry, I'm saved now. I didn't mean to do all that stuff. We would say, well, we're glad you're saved. Welcome to the kingdom. But you're going to have to go to jail and pay the price for what you did. And I think it's confusion in the church as to the ability of that to be able to happen. Raj?
Quickly. I think Trump's going to win this election.
He's up 6 points. I just saw it already. He's up about 20, actually.
Is anybody starting to talk about the transition days, what they're going to look like? I don't think it's going to be calm.
No, that's what I said. Our work begins on next Wednesday. Our work begins. Did you see, Sarge, I'm sure you guys saw this. Trump in his speech the other day said he wants to call for an immediate session of Congress to repeal Obamacare. Now, he doesn't even have the power to be able to do that, right? He's not president. He's president-elect.
Hey, Coach, Bill's on the line.
Jump in here, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, all.
Good morning, Bill.
At Dinesh D'Souza's Hillary's America, Power of the Coup, you can buy that on DVD now. I've been passing it around. And, a lot of what I knew, but all put together. But the other thing, Chuck Colson, the Watergate burglar, or he was connected back in the Nixon era. He pled guilty immediately. He could have got off, but he did his time in prison and got mightily in prison industry. And still is today, even though he's passed on, his organization all over the world. But I'm like you. Hillary wants to come clean. I mean, I take responsibility. Well, she takes responsibility, but she doesn't want to take any penalty out of the being responsible for her actions. She doesn't want to mouth the word and not pay the price.
Well, see, that's part of Bill. I think that's part of her mental condition. To a sociopath, they're never wrong. They're never wrong. It was always somebody else. Always was somebody else. And because of the deep, what I think to be demonic control of her, I don't think she's able to even fess up and do it. Look, she wouldn't even be here had she a year ago just come clean, just laid it all on the table and come clean if she'd just done that. But that's never the way they operate. It's always cover up, cover up, cover up, cover up with the Clintons. So I believe, as we're running, George, go ahead here. We're running. So thanks for calling, Bill. Thanks a lot, brother. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Coach, there was a prophecy about a year ago by Pastor David Lankford, and he prophesied that Donald Trump would win the presidency, but when he got in, not everything would be thought. And that really goes what you're saying about how we need to pray for his heart, that the Holy Spirit would really get a hold of him. I thought that was excellent what you said.
Amen. See, that's again, that comes back to the whole faith thing, right? Lord said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you saith. Is that the approach of Christians right now? Are we praying that mountain would be moved out of Donald Trump's heart and he'd become a redeemed man? Are we praying? Do we believe that he can do that? Do we? Has that been the approach of the church? And I would say no, that the church has been backward focused on Donald Trump's past. Now, I've heard people say this, I don't have any proof of it, said that when Donald Trump got married to his current wife, Melania, which is about 12 years ago, he changed his life. He put away some of that foolishness. The dude's 70 years old. He put away some of that foolishness. He's been a changed man, not a redeemed man, not a Christian man. But he put away a lot of that foolishness 10 years ago. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, Christians seem to be the ones least willing to accept and pray for the fact that he could be a redeemed man, that he could be changed, that he could, when he lays his head on his pillow at night, with everything that he's been through and the way that they've been beating up on him, how do we know that Donald Trump hasn't laid his head on his pillow at night and cried out to the Lord, Lord, help me, give me strength here? We don't know any of that stuff. And unfortunately, we want to believe the devil's lie that this man is the lesser of two evils and beyond redemption. That is what that is what the Never Trumpers are saying. I just find that really, really hard to swallow. Okay, guys, got a lot to watch here. Oh, my glasses are crooked. A lot to watch here. I had some more stuff I want to share too. We'll try to get to tomorrow. Donald Trump, the wrecking ball, WikiLeaks coming out. Is there a shadow government exposing all this? Man, oh man, what a thriller this would be if we could write a book. We could sell this baby for sure. And in fact, when this whole thing is done, what a story this is going to be. And guys, We had the chance to live through it. Keep your eye on the ball. Nothing hidden that will not be exposed. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.